Well, this morning we're wrapping up our series that we've been in for the last few weeks, where we're calling it a Heart of Compassion. And we've been just asking God to kind of move in and wreck us and just to kind of put inside of us, you know, the passions that He's passionate for, or kind of what we've been seeing in Scripture. We've seen that He's very compassionate for the widow, the orphan, and the alien. He's very moved by the people that are marginalized by culture and society. And it's like, and we're just asking God, give us that heart where we have compassion, not just compassion where we feel something, because compassion is empathy, where you're feeling sorry for somebody, but it's compassion with action. And we're asking God to give us the ability and to give us the courage even to step forward and to what He's doing in the world. And sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable, especially when we're called to action. But all throughout Scripture, we can kind of see that Jesus has always been calling people to action, to go, and to be something. And last week, we looked a bit at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus had His followers kind of setting down where He's teaching, and He told them that they were going to be salt. And we learned that we're supposed to be salty people in the world, meaning we're people that are salty enough where we're preserving the surroundings around us. And we're slowing the decay that we see in the world because of the way that we are living. And when you see the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I want you to be different. I want to kind of turn the kingdom of this world upside down and show you what my kingdom is like. And he says, and if you're a person that's following me, I don't want anger to rule you. I mean, just imagine though, if that teaching left this earth, and everybody was just angry all the time. Imagine if anger was acceptable, and it's like, yeah, it's okay to just hate people. Imagine a world where countries were led by angry leaders. We don't have to imagine that, do we? We can see anger. We can see how it destroys relationships. We can see how it destroys nations and people. And Jesus goes, I want my people to be different. My followers, they're not going to be angry at people. They're not going to hate people. In fact, they're going to turn the other cheek. In fact, they're going to be very unique. They're going to give grace and mercy when people don't receive it. But imagine a world where if there was no forgiveness. I mean, Jesus, these are the teachings that Jesus has entrusted you and I with as followers of Christ, that we're to pass on down and preserve for every single generation, that we're supposed to forgive one another the way that He has forgiven us. Imagine if that leaves this world. Imagine where bitterness and all the weight of hatred because of what somebody's done or said to you is just weighs you down every day of your life. Imagine that bitterness just driving people to the point where they do cruel acts towards other people. Again, we don't have to imagine that, do we? We see the world that is not always influenced by forgiveness. But Jesus says, I want you to be salt. I want you to be unique. I want you to forgive freely the way that I've forgiven you. With all of your sin, I accepted you and I forgave you. Now I want you to do the same. Jesus says, this is how we're supposed to live. It's unique, and we're supposed to go out and do this. Now, last week I kind of ended the sermon a little bit just saying, you know, I asked a couple weeks ago for people to come and paint at a widow's house, because we know that a widow is somebody who is very close and dear to the heart of God. And I told you the first week I got one response, but last week, you know what happened? I had about 10 different guys come up to me and say, oh, I meant to tell you, Kelly. Or, I forgot. I got busy. So I told him, you know what, you're my sermon example. This is what we've been talking about, is that God has been saying, I want to be number one. I want to be the priority in your life. I want you to do my work wherever you are. I want you to be my hands and feet in the world. And instead of living your life with all this busyness and all the craziness, I do want you to slow down and prioritize and remember. Remember where my heart is. The widows, the orphan, the alien, the marginalized people in our culture. Don't forget about them. Go out there. I'm excited that we have a great group of people that are willing to do this. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Because I really believe that God's trying to change our church. Not just being a group of people who have a great head knowledge of the Bible, but it's a group of people their hearts have been impacted and filled so much with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can't help but go out and just ooze out the love of God to people. What I mean by oozing is we're sharing the love and we're showing compassion and kindness to people. So it's our faith lining up with what we confess. Scripture is full of this. Now, and James, I love the book of James, and I was reading the scripture in James, and go ahead, Kenny. And it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? So what good is it for us to say that we believe this and we do nothing? We have our actions don't line up with what we confess. And James says, can such a faith save him? In other words, yeah, it's great to have all this head knowledge, but you're not doing the work of God. You're just holding on to it. You're not letting that knowledge flow down into your heart, and then you're not letting it flow out of you. Is that faith, or is that just head knowledge? And I would say what it is, it's a nominal Christian. Nominal Christian, we can see all throughout culture. We can see in Europe where nominal Christians, where it's people who believe something, but there's no action. And the hearts get empty. And eventually, they turn away from God, or God is kind of marginalized. So James goes on. He says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Great, you identify there's a need. Great, you see somebody that needs help or somebody that needs time, somebody that needs some caring, they need a meal, they need clothes. Great, it's great that you see it, but you do nothing about it. What good is it? How does it help that person? It doesn't. And then James says this. He says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by actions, is dead. Those are some harsh words saying that, yes, you can believe all this, but you have zero actions, then your faith is dead. And God wants to revive us. He wants to bring revival in the hearts. He wants to bring and set a fire inside of us so strong that we are going out into the world being salt, and we're preserving this world for Him. We're showing people that there's a different way to live, and we're doing it through our actions and through our lifestyles. And Jesus says, these are what my people are called to do. And James goes on to say this, and he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So in other words, you have faith, you have to have deeds. Now hear clearly, doing good deeds, that doesn't earn you salvation. What happens is when you have faith, you realize what Christ has done. You realize that He has died on a cross for you. And He's shed His blood so you can receive the forgiveness of sins. And He's accepted you with open arms, you for who you were, and said, come into my home, receive the forgiveness, and have a relationship with my Father, and you have eternal life. And you recognize that, and you're wrecked by that. You're going, that is so amazing that God loves me that much, that He's moved throughout the universes and invaded our world and invaded our lives. That's how much He loves us. Now what's going to happen is, because I recognize that love, I want other people to experience it. So I go out and do these good deeds, not for my glory, for His glory. That's a faith that's alive. And I think God wants to revive the church. He wants us alive, not dead. Not just head knowledge, but the action that goes with it. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open up to Matthew chapter 5, I want to continue a little bit out of the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, Jesus is setting, he's talking to this group of people, this kind of his early followers. They're probably a group of people that are just ordinary people, a group of people that are fed up with their nation and the religious system of their culture. There's a group of people that are probably poor. They don't have a lot of power, a lot of influence. But they're setting with Jesus, and Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, this is how I want you to live. And then not only this is how I want you to live, but he says, here's your purpose. There's a lot of people going, what is my purpose in life? And you spend your whole life trying to find out what your purpose is. You end up doing nothing. And you're not satisfied. You don't feel complete. Well, Jesus is amazing. He says, this is what your purpose is. He says it this way to his followers. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. So he says, this is your purpose as a follower of Christ. You're to be salty. You're to be a preservative in the world. You are to be my hands and my feet here, because you are in a broken world that is a hopeless world. And you are to be different and unique, and you're going to be shining in a different way, and you're going to be showing the world who I am by the way that you live. And you're going to give them hope that there's something else. And he says, this is our purpose, to be a preservative. And then he goes, and also, here's what your purpose is, too. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Can you imagine him saying that to this group of people? They're probably going, oh, excuse me, Jesus. I don't think I'm the light of the world, because I really don't like to get up in front of people and speak. I don't like to share Bible studies. I don't like to pray in front of people. I really don't have power. I don't have an influence. And Jesus is going, if you're my follower, you're salt of the earth. You're preservative, but you're the light of the world. And I still believe this in the depth of my soul, that the church is the light of the world. Because the living Spirit of God is within the church, revealing Jesus Christ. The church is still the hope of the world. God has designed it that way. But you and I have to start recognizing our purpose and who we are. We are the light of the world. And I'm sure when he said that to his group of people, they were probably going, oh, I remember in the Old Testament, Isaiah said this. He said this about the Hebrew people, about the nation of Israel, that they were going to be a light to the nations around them. They were going to be a nation that lived very different, and they worshiped one true God. And God was going to bless them, and he was going to give them an abundance of land, and he was going to give them wealth. And he did that through King David. He expanded their territories and gave them what they would call the Promised Land. And then through Solomon, they get great wealth. They were supposed to use all these things to point all the other nations to their God, because the way that other nations looked at a nation that was growing and that was successful and that had power and might is that their God was mighty and their God was powerful. And they were supposed to be a nation who was using all those the wealth and the influence and the power that they had to show people this one true God. But they kind of stepped aside and they did what we do. They start to focus on their wants, their desires, their power, their success. And they stop being a light in their area. And God's saying, I want you to be a light. A light to the world. That's an incredible purpose. You know, we've talked about some really tough issues. Ben brought some issues up. And before I go to this next section, I want you to know it's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. First of all, something has happened in America and within the church that we can't have conversations about something and disagree. Meaning, I'm talking to you about something and you have a different viewpoint from me. Well, our culture is teaching this. You hate the other person, and the other person, you can't love them, and they can't be your friend anymore, right? And we see that happening in the political scenes, right? Or if they can't agree on issues, what do? They attack the person, they hate them. And we do the very same thing within the church. In other nations, quite often you can have a conversation about issues. And I think the Bible is very clear that we should be people that are talking about things and open to conversations. Like it says in Proverbs that iron sharpens iron. What happens when two people have views and they're believers and they're talking and then they're hitting each other back and forth, and what happens is there's pieces of the metal that are jagged, and that piece of the metal comes off as they're discussing and they're staying in the truths of God. So I want to just talk about some things that are going to make you uncomfortable. But there's another thing that you got to keep in mind. As I say these things, we always have to put this around it. Every human being is created in the image of God. Therefore has extreme value. We can never forget that. Because what broke God's heart? When people started to make other people subhuman. and they started to push them aside and marginalize them. We talked a little bit about racism, right? I want to expand this. This is because racism we always think is a white-black thing. Not so. One aspect of it was in Chicago. Saw Hispanics hating blacks, blacks hating Hispanics. I've been to other nations where they have tribes. And because you're not from this tribe, they hate each other. You have different ethnic groups that hate each other because of the ethnic groups. Within races, there is racism within races. And within our a white race, for instance, will say things like, that trailer park, and then no offense if you live in a trailer, but quite often I hear a comment like this, trailer trash. Isn't that creating a bias? Isn't that judging somebody because they might be poor and they can't afford a home? They can't help that in many cases. And a lot of people will look down on somebody for being poor. Or within, I'm Irish, so I can see in the Irish and the different clans, if you didn't belong to this clan or this clan, you are not worth nothing. So you see it within all the groups. But the problem is it's the heart of the people. There is racism, isn't there? Let's be honest. It's there. But we have to always remember that every human being is created in the image of God. I remember just two nights ago, Angie and I watching a movie on South Africa and apartheid. I can tell you, I was wrecked inside when I watched it, what other human beings were doing to another human being because of skin colors. It was appalling to see. And we literally had to fast forward through sections where they would go into the villages and take young children, and they literally would cut their arms off and mutilate them. When I hear that, that's an injustice, isn't it? And I am so thankful that I'm living in a time where our world stood up and said, no. You have Bishop Desmond Tutu, a black bishop, fighting during these times, trying to be a light in a world that was filled with darkness, trying to show that we need to get beyond the issues of racism, and we need to forgive, and we need to love one another. And what was so amazing in the movie, this one lady, her child was taken, brutally murdered. And at one of the hearings that they had, a guy is describing what they did to this little girl. And a guy that stood there and watched it and did nothing was being brought up on charges. He was in tears because of what happened. The black lady, after everything kind of settles down, and she hears the truth about her child, comes over to him while he's weeping and extends a hand. And she forgave him. You see, you know what the answer is to racism? It's you and I and others having a heart that is beating like Christ. And we are looking at people in the image of God. We can't change the past, can we? But we can love people right where they're at. So you have a tough issue there. What do? We have to do something. If you're compelled to do something, then get involved. But that's not the only issue. There's so many other issues. We're injustice. We talked about the alien. God said really clearly, his heart is for the alien. We're divided and we argue over policies of government. I could care less about the government policies. I know nothing. I'm not smart enough to figure out what's the right thing to do. But I know the right thing to do is if somebody's in my sphere, meaning I know there's somebody here that is an alien that is struggling and their family's been separated, which we have participated in as a church, we get involved. We help meet those needs. We love them and we show them that we are the light of the world. We're different. Now there's a few other ones that are tough. The sex slave industry. Most people are unaware of this. Kidnapping people, putting them in slavery. People are going, well, what do we do about it? It's an injustice. Get involved. War. There's many other organizations participate in it, pray every day that these people get found out. Because Desmond Tutu, one of the things that he said, he says, there's the whole world is praying for us. You know, when the whole world is praying, you know what happens? Our Father in heaven is moved. Really tough issue going on in our culture, the LGBTQ plus. And then there's several versions of this. What is that? Some people don't even know what it is. Well, I'm going to say it's called the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender questioning. Hot issue. I personally know one of my friends is a person who struggles with same-sex attraction. Left church, afraid to even talk to anybody within the church. They're trying to keep their hearts pure, meaning that they're trying not to live out the conflict that they have inside. Now, many other people that have that same conflict that's going on, and they've said these words, I don't like myself. I wish I were dead. Kelly, I've tried to pray it away. I've tried to give it away to God, but he won't take it. What do we do, church? 12-year-old boy went to his pastor, struggling with the issues. Said, Pastor, will you hook me up with somebody in the church, a guy in the church that can help walk with me? You know what happened? The pastor laughed at him. Told him that nobody would want to spend any time with him. Nobody would understand. Young man left church. Later in his life, committed suicide. Church, we have to get a balance here. We have to learn how to be the light in the world. The world is dark, and there are people that are hurting. Every one of these people, I can tell you even more stories about people that are struggling with this. They keep saying the church is not a safe place for me because nobody wants to hear this. That sin, and it is a sin because of the church's stance, it is a sin, is no greater than any other sin. Why can't we talk about it? Why can't we learn to embrace people and love them right where they're at, showing the love of Christ, being a light in the world? Because you know what changes people? Not telling them that they're going to go to hell because of their lifestyle. Not holding up a sign on the street. You know what changes them? When somebody takes the time and is the light to them. Because I know several people who have turned their lives back to God because somebody embraced them, somebody loved them enough to say, I'm walking with you. I don't understand your struggle completely, but I am walking with you. And you know what this male friend said to me? He said, Kelly, when I told you, I was terrified that you wouldn't love me anymore. And you know what the first thing I did when the person told me, even without knowing all this conflict, I hugged them and said, I love you. He found a safe place. Is he struggling still? Yes, he is. Is he going to struggle the rest of his life? Probably. There are things that we need to learn how to become light in. It doesn't mean that we compromise the truth at all. When you embrace somebody in love, because you're respecting them as created in the image of God, you're not embracing a lifestyle. You're embracing the person, because I know there's many families here that are dealing with this. Some families are having children coming out. And it's hard to know what to do. I'm just going to tell you, I don't have any answers. but this. Love them like Christ loves them. As a dearly created human being, and you show them love. And what I guarantee you is you're going to have peace about some very controversial issues. We should never, ever let ourselves get wrapped up into politics, ever. Because when we do, we lose the heart of God. Because God is not political. He looks at a human being and goes, I love you. He looks at you when you're in the middle of your sin, when you're in the middle of looking at that pornography, when you're in the middle of lying and cheating. He looks at you and goes, you're sinning, but I love you. So can we be light? Can we get a balance? Yes, we can. God is calling us to be light in a very, very dark, dark world. And if you and I stop being the light, how are they going to experience the love of God? Difficult. There's many other issues we could sit here going through. But here's the main point. If God wrecks your heart with something, maybe it's one of these issues, maybe it's another issue, some injustice where people are being marginalized. And I think of people who are handicapped or emotionally impaired, and sometimes we kind of put them in and push them and marginalize them. And if it's welling up inside of you, do something about it. That's what Christ keeps saying over and over. Wherever you're placed, it was a strategic place where he's placed you. And he says, you are a light on a hill. A city on a hill, excuse me, cannot be hidden. In other words, what I really like about this verse is in the Greek and out of the NASB, it says it this way. It says, a city set on a hill. And that word set is not like the word built. The word set, if you go into the Greek, it actually aligns more with God has chosen divinely to set that city on a hill. And in the ancient days, they would set a city on the hill. They would just determine with the builder and the architect and the people of the city, where's the best place we can set this city so people can see it. And they built their cities, quite often the buildings and the walls, out of limestones, because during the day the sun would hit it and it would reflect and people could see it. And at night, when there was just candles burning and torches burning, the light would reflect off of the city walls and people would be able to see it. And Jesus is saying to us as followers, he's saying, you were strategically set where you are. I have placed you in Wayland. I have placed you in Byron Center. I have placed you in Grand Rapids. I have placed you in Kentwood. I have placed you wherever you are, strategically. Where you work, he has strategically put you there to be the light of the world. Oh, not me, Kelly. Yes, you. You are the light of the world. You have the Spirit of the living God living in you. And wherever you go, you are strategically placed there. So that way people can see the love of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God. And then he goes, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now this doesn't mean a lot to us because we just walk over and we flip a light switch on, right? But in their culture, they would use maybe a candle. And they wouldn't take that candle and place it over in a corner, because what they wanted to do is to make sure that they would place this candle, this light, on a stand somewhere centrally located in a room so it would shed its light to the farthest corners of the room so that people could see. And Jesus is going, you are a light to the world. You've been strategically placed somewhere to be a beacon of hope in this world where there is no hope. And then he said, and you definitely wouldn't do this. You definitely wouldn't light this and do that. Would you? This is a nominal Christian. This is somebody who knows all the knowledge of who Jesus is, but they do nothing. they don't share it. They don't go out and be salty. They don't go out and share who Jesus Christ is and what Christ has done. They don't go out and love people unconditionally. They just keep it all to this head knowledge. And God is saying it's not about head knowledge. It's about the heart and developing a heart like mine. And Jesus says, this is your purpose. Go out and be salt. Be a preservative. Be different. Slow down the decay in the world. Oh, by the way, don't forget your purpose. Be light in a world that's dark. Shining to everybody. And then he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men. Don't do this. Don't just come here on Sunday. Don't just come here when you're around your Christian buddies and talk about God. No, when you're at work, when you're out on the streets, when you're wherever you find yourself in school, you find yourself in college, he goes, I want you to let your light shine. Be so different that people can see it before all men. He says, that they may, what? See. I want my followers to be so different that they see this. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and do what? Praise your Father in heaven. I mean, I'm going to let my light shine before all men to get praises for me? No. I am doing this because I received the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God's love in my life. So I'm going out and I'm going to administer that to people. And as I do that, I am showing them who God is. And as we do our faith in action, people all of a sudden go, that's God. When you love somebody that maybe our culture has marginalized, and people see it, they go, that's God. He says, I want you to be light. I want you to be different in this world. And I think the hardest thing about this, honestly, when I hear these words, how do you and I figure out how to be salt and light where God has strategically placed you? What does that look like for you? And wrestle with that. Don't just put that light under a bowl because nobody's going to see God. And this, Jesus says, or in Ephesians, Paul says it like this in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You didn't save yourself. In fact, while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were a sinner, Christ was pursuing you. The Holy Spirit of God was wooing you into a relationship. And quite often it was through people that were being salt and light around you. But God does it. God saves, not you. And he says, and you can't take the credit for this because it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. In other words, God has planned great works for us. God has given us salvation, and you know salvation isn't just for you. Salvation, you were brought into the family of God for a very specific reason, and Jesus Christ was revealed to you for a very specific reason, and that was to go out and do the very specific job that God has designed for you. And as you do that, you know what you do? You reveal his glory to the world. But you're a masterpiece, he says, that God has been crafting to be salt, to be light in the world around us. Problem with having compassion without actions is this. The light gets snuffed out, doesn't it? The light is diminished. And if you and I continue to hide it under a bowl and don't go out into our culture and make a difference, you know what happens? Darkness encroaches. Darkness takes over. And Jesus said that you are the light of the world. And you know what I've read about light? It says that light displaces darkness. And let me tell you, we are in a dark, dark world that needs the followers of Christ to be people that are salt and light, and they are going out administering love and making right the wrongs. And when there's an injustice, that we are called up and we are willing to take a stand because God's leading us there. And I really believe this is what God is saying to the believers, because when I look across Europe, we are going to become just like Europe, where the churches are not making a difference. I spoke to a missionary that's from Italy. And he says there are so many people that don't know Jesus Christ, even though that they say they believe. They don't have a personal relationship. They go to church maybe twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and that's it. If at all. And let me just tell you, that terrifies me. You know why that terrifies me? Because we're following suit with Europe. Unless we rise up and say, God, put in me a heart that is like yours. One that is filled so full of compassion, my light shines in this world, and your spirit bubbles out of me. Because when we start doing good things and we start to put our faith in action, you know what happens? You are filled with a full measure of God's spirit to the point where you are overflowing and people are going, yes, that's what we want. I don't think God wants this. He wants us to be light, pushing back darkness, setting the captives free, taking part in ministries that are part of repentance and reconciliation. That's our ministry. So where are you being salt? Where are you being light? Maybe you've kind of drifted and just do Christianity, religion. Would you just let God saturate you? Let him reveal his heart? If you're somebody that's longing for more, don't just have faith. Go out and do both. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. God, we just would ask that you would wake our hearts and our spirit up to what you are doing in the world around us. Truly make us a group of believers that are following you and making a difference in this world, where we are pushing back the darkness. We're standing strong on the truths of your word, but we are also loving and administering kindness and compassion. God, show us how to get this balance. Help us not to be afraid, because you've got it all under control. God, let us be salt and light for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.